How many of you have noticed over the several weeks, months that we've been together, Pastor doesn't wear a watch anymore? I stopped wearing a watch about 2 years ago. Because I realized all that watch did was drive me. I couldn't change it. I couldn't make it stop. I couldn't make it slow down. I couldn't make it go backwards. So I just gave up on time. Because I realized that no matter what time it is, I really don't know what time it is. Because I'm not in control of time. We wear watches because time controls us. You do realize that, right? How many of you already know that you have to be at a certain place even today at a certain time? Isn't it amazing? We don't control time. Time controls us. So I figured if I don't know what time it is, I can't be in control. I can't be controlled by time. I'll get there when I get there. Okay? And a lot of people hate that because that means pastor's always late, right, guys? I will get there because I need to be there. But the greatest aspect is God knows where I need to be. Now, do I use time? Yes, I do. I have a cell phone and there's a clock on it. All right? So I do use time. But I will not allow time to run my life anymore. Because God's in control of my time, and so much of my time I schedule. If any of you have ever looked at my calendar, you'll understand that reality. I put things on my calendar, and more often than not, it's why everything in my calendar is in pencil. I start erasing stuff the very day it's happening because I got to put this in and put this in and put this in. Things are always changing. Because no matter what, I can see the seasons, but I cannot tell you what tomorrow will bring. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. Today, we stand under one of the greatest examples of what I'm talking about. And you know, if any of you were alive on Tuesday, you know what I mean. This past week, a miracle happened. Those are the only words I can use. A miracle happened. All the media outlets in the world, not just here in the United States, all the media outlets in the world had Hillary Clinton winning the election by a landslide. But you see, the world forgot one thing. Man is not God. And God says, I am in control of the time. And these are my times. And an amazing thing happened. Because these men and women that are in our media had this agenda. Their eyes were completely closed to everything that was transpiring. Even when it was happening in front of their faces. When they saw those states that were blue turning red. And I watched because some of them went, they were blue and then they flickered red. And then they went blue and then they flickered red. And then they went bright red. Until the map of the United States, the heartland of the United States, was blood red. But you see, the media didn't know what time it was. They had no idea what was going on because their agenda, their bias, kept them from seeing truth. Is there anything in the Scripture that speaks of this reality that you know, Christ spoke of or his apostles spoke of? Well, as a matter of fact, you know, it says there's nothing new under the sun. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. To Matthew in the 16th chapter. And this is the Lord himself teaching at this point in time. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to begin in verse 1. Because this is not new. This is times old. Because people have agendas. And when their agenda overrides the heart of God and the will of God and the Word of God, God will show Himself as God if God's people will humble themselves and pray. And I've got some teaching on that one to do here in just a little while. But from the first verse in chapter 16, we read these words, "Thus saith the Lord." The Pharisees and Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked Him to show them a sign from heaven. But He replied to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." When I look at those words, I cannot help but think of what Jesus was actually teaching. Jesus was talking to them about His death and His resurrection. 3 days in the belly of the whale. That's the sign of Jonah. Okay? And Jesus said that He would be 3 days in the belly of the earth and that He would rise again. And He did. Because you see, no matter what the Pharisees saw, no matter what the Sadducees saw, they didn't see the Messiah who was standing in front of them. They saw a pest. They saw a cyst in their system, something that came against them. They saw an abscess that needed to be cut out. They weren't looking to God. They were looking to self, that they had become the power and principality of Israel and therefore God. What happened in our world this past several months? It amazes me because you do realize we had almost twice the amount of time from the first caucus, the Illinois primary. From the primary in Illinois. Okay, from the first one to the election, we had almost twice the amount of time. This year, for some reason, they decided Hillary needed more time to get her message out. Well, the more time they gave her, the bigger the hole she dug. But did they see it? They didn't. They didn't see the division in our country, and it wasn't addressed. And in fact, we were slapped in the face how many times? Jesus here was slapped in the face how many times? The Messiah stood right there in front of these people, and they did not see the signs of the time. They had an agenda. How dangerous is an agenda? If it's not God's agenda and you're pushing that agenda, it can literally destroy you. It can literally destroy you. Because God is in control of our time. God is in control of our world. He allows things to happen within certain parameters. As long as they are within His will to bring about the world in the scheme of things that He wants to have happen, it's going to happen. In other words, if you woke up this morning and your refrigerator was dead, and you determined, I need to pray to God to see if He wants me to have a refrigerator, you're outside of God's time. Because your refrigerator's dead, it's time. Okay? We need to get things in right perspective. Now, if you have a refrigerator that's running fine, but you happen to repainted your kitchen and you think, well, you know, I've got this refrigerator and it's working fine, but I really want a new one because it'll look better with my curtains. Why'd you choose that paint? Okay? We got to get right with the time and understand that when we make choices, it makes things happen. When we have an agenda, it makes things happen. And those things can be outside of what God wants for us. Well, the media and the lobbyists and the government and all that other stuff, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it on the internet. I'm going to say it in church. Pissed off a lot of people. There was a lot of anger because we were being told to shut up. We were being told we don't matter. We don't care about you. You're bigots. You're hypocrites. You're racists. You're demoralizing. All the while, who was doing the demoralizing? Who was being the racist? Who were being the bigots? And what did the church do? Did the church scream and burn down the town? They lost the election. I don't know if the fires are out yet. We didn't start any of them. Not one time during all that slandering can I remember where four Christians beat up on a Hillary supporter. How many of you saw the video of the mother whom after the election, get this, whom after the election found out that they had a mock election in school and her son, 7 years old, this happened in Houston, Texas, look on the internet. If you don't believe me, email me. I will send you the link. She packed her son's bag, 7 years old, and told him because he voted for Donald Trump, he was out of this house. He was not allowed to live here anymore. She literally took him out on the street and told him, this is where you're going to live. And this little boy was traumatized. And his brother started screaming because, wait a minute, that's my brother. That's my brother. You can't do that. And she looked at her second son and said, well, then you can live with that Trump lover too. She posted this thing on Facebook. And she said, well, it was a joke. She's a joke. She calls herself a mother. This world has sought an agenda, and these are the kind of things that happen because people are out of step with time. They are not looking to the God of time, who is the creator and maker of all. They don't honor him with their lives. They don't give him the respect that he is due. They don't follow his precepts. And the world is on its ear because what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. You and I need to understand Jesus was standing right in the midst of this very same reality. Here was the Messiah, the promised one, the one the Pharisees and Sadducees were even teaching about. But when he came, did they want him? No. He's been here. And he's been raised to heaven. We know he is Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Savior, Almighty God. And our world rejects him. Our very nation rejects him. And we wonder why things are as bad as they are. We have to understand that as the people of God, we need to stand fast. We need to watch out for what's happening. I'm going to tell you right now, and this has gone out on the internet, and I pray it's out this week, Ryan. Otherwise, it's not going to be relevant. It needs to be out this week. I will not watch MSNBC, CNN, any of the major networks ever again. They are liars, they are bigots, they are racists, and I'm looking right at you, and I'm telling you right now, they have no idea what justice is coming for them, and I will humble myself and fall on my face that they would repent and turn, that they would know heaven, that they would know the grace of forgiveness, and that they would find the reality of help before they find the reality of hell. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. When I think how many of them had that watch on their arm and they were looking at that puppy and it was ticking on to 3 o'clock and they were still in denial. I mean, it was after midnight. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was 3 hours past the midnight hour and they were still looking for their deliverer. He had already made the call. And his name ain't Donald Trump either. His name is Jesus Christ. And do you know why it went that way? I was in prayer from 9 o'clock, and believe it didn't have anything to me. I'm just telling you what I did, all right? But then I want to tell you the reality of what happened. From 9 o'clock in the morning until 3:30 in the morning, I was in prayer. I had the TV on, I had my internet on. In fact, I had both computers on because I was looking at all kinds of different sites. And I was on my face. I was not on my knees, I was on my face. I was confessing your sin. I was confessing my sin. I was confessing the sin of our nation. I was calling upon God to please, Lord, hear from your people. I pray that there's more people on their knees, on their faces, asking your forgiveness, asking your favor. Lord, I don't care if Donald gets in. I don't care if the libertarian gets in. Just not the witch. Excuse me. Woo, did I just say that? Yes, I did. Because that woman who cares for children kills babies. When I think about what Christ did, how he gave himself up for us, for all of us, and how our founding fathers gave their lives up that we may all be here. For the men and women who fill all the military cemeteries in our nation, who paid a price, a dear, dear, dear price, that the American dream, the experiment that our forefathers brought into being. Do you know there were 56 people in the First Continental Congress and only 30-some, it was 16 of them, that did not sign because they weren't sure that it was going to work. But they helped create it. And this nation came into being based on the reality that we believe that all men are created in the image of God. Okay? We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Amen? By our who? Our government? Our Creator. And they understood the principles and the precepts that God was passing down to us. And we have turned our back on them and said, oh no, marriage can be between two guys. Marriage can be between two girls. We can redefine those things that God has established from the very beginning and turn our back on that reality. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm looking at you and I'm looking at everybody on the internet, if there's two men that want to get hitched, go for it. Don't call it marriage. It's not marriage. God ordained marriage. Marriage was the first covenant God created. And it's a covenant between a man and a woman and him. And we need to understand, when we throw our thumb up at God, we're telling him that we don't care. That we can do what we want to do. You know, since the fall of Adam and Eve, we've been doing that. How's it going for you? Are we in utopia? I mean, we've been around for how many thousands of years? And is it getting better? It's getting worse. Oh, but look at all the progress we have. Wait a minute. A cell phone is not progress. That's technology. I'm talking about true progress. If evolution is true, where are my wings? I should be able to fly by now. We've been around billions of years. They have an agenda. They won't see truth. But they will see their bias and hold to it. And that's exactly what the Sadducees and Pharisees did. And they taught their agenda. If you watch the news on any of the channels that I was just speaking about a little bit earlier, you have been so flooded with propaganda. How about it? How many of you are so glad the election's over just so the commercials stop?
Yeah.
And the phone calls. Wow. I am so sick of the propaganda. But Jesus had a word about that. Let's look at our word. Jesus had a word about that. We're going to continue on. Verse 5. And his disciples came to one another. Excuse me, let's go back to verse 4. It says, and he left them and they went away. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we didn't bring any bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000? And how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. On Tuesday, I could not believe what I literally, or excuse me, on Wednesday, I could not believe what I read on the internet. After the election, all these people that are out there that whoremongers of news, okay, if you want to call it news, started sending out there, oh, wow, you know, I guess we missed it. Wow, we had the story of the century, and gee, huh. And that's, it just slipped right through our fingers. I'm not laughing. Neither is 64.7 million people in this country, and not just our country, but throughout the world. Can I get an amen? Because God's not a laughing matter. And the poison that they were pouring out into our land filled our nostrils. You know, it says in the scriptures, and the stench of their sin reached heaven. Well, the stench of their sin finally reached us. You know, it's pretty bad when the Church of Jesus Christ has to let things get this bad before it'll stand up. But we did. Are we going to roll over again? Or are we going to start being Christ? Are we going to start living His Word? Or are we going to allow the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to bring us back into complacency? The one mediator, the one guy said, you know, we consider ourselves the priests and priestesses of modern era, that we bring to the people that the divine nature that needs to be spoken. I could not believe he was using these words. They literally consider themselves the priests and priestesses of this world and the new divine order that they wish to bring in. Do you hear their philosophy? And if you think I'm lying, I'll send you the articles. These are their retorts. These are their apologies to us. Their apologies are so filled with trash and garbage that it is unreal. They're already trying to turn the tide, trying to gain just that little, we didn't see it, and we consider ourselves to be the same, and we should have seen this, but we just didn't catch it. We were just locked into this. We just saw it as something that we really wanted to go for. Well, did you care what your constituency, did you care what the people in our nation said? Did you care what God said? And the answer to all those questions is no. They had an agenda. The Pharisees, the Sadducees had an agenda to keep the people under their power. Nothing new under the sun, folks. When we think about where we are as a nation and where things are going, I've been asked by so many people, and this is not a joke. Some of you know it, and hopefully you'll raise your hands when I say this. I have been asked by so many people in the last 3 months, Pastor, if things are really getting this bad and we're going in this direction and the end is soon, why do we continue? Now, I want you to be honest. How many of you have had those thoughts? You want to know why? Let Jesus tell you why. Open your scriptures to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke. We are going to be in chapter 18. Chapter 18. We're going to begin in the first verse. From the first verse, the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, we hear these words, "For thus saith the Lord." Now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Wow, what a wonderful opening, amen? In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Wow, that sounds familiar. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" What happened this past week? We were crying to the judge. We were crying to the human judge. We were crying to the people. We were crying out. We were speaking to the people, right? We were speaking to Hillary and to her crew and to our governors, our senators, our congressmen, and they rejected us. But you see, we have to remember one thing. There is only one judge. There is only one judge. Please say that. There is only one judge, and he is our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is judge, jury, and executioner, so to speak. Okay? And we need to understand that reality. What happened this past week? This is amazing. I told you from 9 o'clock until 3:30, I was on my face praying until Pennsylvania turned red for the last time. Boom! And it was done, and I was off my, and I was praising God because all I was bringing was hallelujah. This is the first time I was proud to be a Pennsylvanian. Amen. And I'm not saying that to, I don't mean to upset anybody. It was so amazing because I was literally ready to, I'm going to tell everybody, yep, I'm from Pennsylvania. We got Trump elected. Did we? No, we were part of something. Amen. But what happened? I learned this after the fact. At 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning, and when I say 8 a.m., I mean Eastern Standard Time, in Jerusalem, a prayer vigil started. That prayer vigil was held in a stadium. All the Americans were on the stage on their knees and on their faces before God, while the entire rest of the people, and this place was packed, they were Israelis, they were praying for America, praying for God's deliverance. They weren't praying for Donald Trump, please understand that. They were not praying for Donald Trump, neither was I, you need to hear that. I was beseeching God, that was it. I wanted God to do an intervention here. I didn't care what it was, what direction it went, but God, you have to do something. You've got to show up. Forgive us. And these people prayed and prayed. At the same time, there was a prayer vigil started in Japan. There was a prayer vigil started in Australia. There was a prayer vigil started in Germany. There was a prayer vigil. They were all over Europe, Asia, Africa. These prayer vigils were all over the world. They began at 8 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. Foreigners were praying for us because we drive, this nation drives our world. Whatever happens here becomes placated everywhere else because we are the driving force behind all this stuff. Why do you think the UN is in the United States? But from 8 o'clock until 9:30, it didn't change. Those people have been praying for an hour and a half and nothing was happening. I began praying at 9 o'clock. What I didn't know was there was a prayer vigil planned to start in Dallas, Texas at 9:30. At 9:30, they went online, they went on air, and this telecast went out to 400 million viewers. At the same time they started at 9:30 in Dallas, there were other prayer vigils. They were all coincided to begin at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. And at 9:34, they began praying, confessing the sins of America, confessing their own sins and their own iniquities, that they have not stood up, that the Church of Jesus Christ has rejected their God, and that we have fallen to the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what happened at 9:34, does anybody know? The moment America humbled itself, and the Christians, because many of you were voting all day long. 80 million of you voted. Did you hear me say that? 80 million evangelical Christians voted at this election. Largest numbers ever. And at 9:34, when they started praying, if you look at the lines, they're still on the internet. At 9:34, they started to move. And as those people continued praying all day long, and praying and praying, the lines crossed, and God answered the prayers of His people, because there was no way outside of God that that election was going to come out the way it came out. It is the largest upset in over 80 years in the United States. It is the upset of a century, because it was like 1932 when we had the big upset here in the United States. Hillary was declared a winner before she ever before anybody cast a vote, and she was declared a winner by 90%. 90%. God stepped in, because I want you to see, you want to know how much God stepped in? Hillary won the popular vote by a couple of thousand. But you see, God doesn't have to be popular to win, because God wins no matter what. God took the states that He needed to push Him over the 270 mark. God is sovereign, people. God knows what's going on. The Scripture declares something to us, and you and I need to understand it. We saw something miraculous, because we saw Scripture, we saw prophecy fulfilled. It says in the Scriptures that in the later days there will be a great awakening. Many people think that means a revival. It doesn't say there will be a great revival. It said there will be a great awakening. Well, you know the show Good Morning America? I think we finally smelled the coffee because there was an awakening. America said, we're tired, we're angry, and we're going to vote. And they voted. People who have not voted ever voted. I just found out from Brother David, I had no idea about this one, I didn't see this. The Amish were voting. The Mennonites were voting. He said it was a big thing. I'm going to be checking it out when I get home. The Amish and the Mennonite, people who never vote, voted because the government was coming against them and they were beginning to lose their farms and their way of life. Welcome to the Great Awakening. This is it. But now we have got to move. We cannot allow ourselves to go back into complacency. We have got to begin proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere and all the time. We have got to begin holding our legislators fast to the move that has begun, because if we are slacking by one step, the evil one is going to come in. And I am going to tell you right now, that will happen. The Great Awakening is followed directly by a great falling away. You see, it's how we know the end times have become real. It says in the Scriptures, you know, if we can tell the days, but we have no idea what season it is, okay? How can we begin to tell anything? We need to understand that Jesus is talking to us spiritually here. We need to discern the spirit of the times. We have just witnessed the Great Awakening where the people have stood up. Guess what's going to happen now? Guess what's going to happen now? You don't have to guess hard. Because that liberal machine that rolled over us is going to roll again. And when it slaps down this next time, that's the great falling away. Because they are going to say, we don't want God. We don't want your stuff. We're done. So what does that mean? I'm going to be blunt. I'm not being prophetic. I'm making a prediction, okay? I will not say I'm prophetic lest I be shown a fool, because that's about what I am most times. But I'm going to make a prediction. We've got 4 to 8 years to build a church and to build it solid, to lay a foundation that has already been laid that no other person can lay, the foundation of Jesus Christ. But then we need to begin building on that, and every man ought to watch what he builds with, because lest we build with precious stones, gold and silver, which is the Word of God and the reality of eternity, because if we build with wood, hay, or stubble, what's going to happen to it? It's going to be burned up. We need to understand that we have a time. We have a time, and that time is growing short. Because when we see the great falling away, when we get slapped back down, I'm going to tell you right now, when we get slapped back down, it's coming down hard. We all know that. Every one of us has been in this game for how long now? You know, and I do call life a game. This side of heaven, it's a game. We all know who wins. Thank God that, you know, He owns the board and all the pieces. But the reality is, Satan gets to run it for a little while, doesn't he? And we're headed there. And when it happens, we need to be ready. Because it says in the Scriptures, and I want you to turn there with me, if you will. I want you to turn there with me, if you will, in Galatians 6 and 7. Galatians 6, beginning in 7. beginning in the 7th verse, in the 6th chapter of Galatians, reading through 10. Excuse me, 7th verse, reading through 10. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." As we see this thing flopping back, we need to remember that we need to be about our work. We need to understand that we need to realize that these people who are reaping from the flesh, they're sowing from the flesh rather, they're going to reap from it. Which means what? This world is going to turn back, because this world does not want the things of God. But it is our hope, it is our longing that all men would turn from sin and choose life. Amen? And it is our time right now. We have this time. There is no more. If we are not going to stand up and be counted, then we might as well roll over and call it a day. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not willing to do that. And if you are, I feel for you, because you've lost the game already. But if we are willing to stand up for Christ, remember, He says to those who persevere to the, not halfway, not three quarters, to the, He will give an authority. Do you know what that authority is? He will give to us an authority, those of us who persevere to the end. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Look in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Verse 26. This is God's promise to us, folks. This is His promise. He said, "He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You and I, when we overcome, when we persevere to the end, God is going to set us up that we are going to rule over nations. We need to understand that this world is coming to an end, and there is a new time starting. It is somewhere around 1156, 1157. Midnight is approaching, and the day is about to end. Now, we've got a little bit of time left here. And you know, when I'm talking 4 years, 8 years, I hate to tell you this, that's nothing in eternity. That's a blink of an eye. That's not even the blink of an eye. That's a twinkle of an eye. But we have a work to do. We put ourselves before God and we said, "We're going to build a church. Lord, we're going to build your church." And we have seen this thing slide backwards, just as our nation has slid backwards. Are we going to accept that and say, "Oh, well"? Or are we going to stand up and be counted? Are we going to put ourselves out there as the nation put itself out there? Are we going to humble ourselves as many did and pray? And I know right now many of you were praying about this election and its outcome. Did you get your answer to prayer? I didn't, because it's not over yet. I still have work to do. If you think it's already over, you're defeated. It's not over. It's just begun. We have a lot to do and a short time to do it in. You remember the, what was that, Smokey and the Bandit? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And that goes to show my age. These young kids are like, what? Get the movie for them. They'll love it. It's got an orangutan in it. Pow. And we're going to do what they say can't be done. And praise God, by His power it will. But folks, we've got to determine, as Jesus said, not to listen to the yeast, the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We cannot shut our mouths any longer. We cannot slide back because, you know, and it amazed me because the one commentator actually said this. He said, you know, we thought if we screamed loud enough and long enough that they would just shut up and back off. Well, I guess that didn't work. Do they think we're stupid and don't hear this stuff? I think they're stupid. They don't hear what they're saying. They don't understand what they are saying. Because the awakening has come. We have seen. We have heard. Now we need to move. Because we know what's coming next. God gave us the book for a reason. And it's not for a vacation. It's because we have work to do in the time that we have here. And I need a church that's willing to get on its feet, to stand for Jesus Christ, to speak the word of the gospel. Many of you have told me, you know, Pastor, I've invited a lot of people. Yeah, how many of them did you bring? I know for a fact this young lady right here, and I'm going to pick on you, and I'm very sorry, because I know you don't like it. But I know for a fact this young lady right here not only has invited people, but she has made sure that they have shown up. And do you know those people are still here today and have brought their family? And one went home to be with the Lord, amen? And we know her family's in the Lord. And they're extended from us. Tom, I pray you're watching these things. We love you, brother, and we do miss you. We cannot just invite, because when you all you do is invite, and then you walk away, you're giving the person the door out. You're saying, that's all the commitment I have. But when you invite that person, you say, I'm coming to get you. We're going to go to church. You know, you don't have to go to discipleship this week, but I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to pick you up because church starts at 10:15. I'm going to pick you up at 10:05. I'll be there Sunday. You don't have to dress up. Pastor just wears a nice pair of pants and a shirt, you know, cool. And then show up. Because folks, the parable of the lost sheep isn't for me. It's for you. This is the 99. The one that's out there is the one you need to be going after, and you need to go get that one and bring it here. That parable is not for the pastor. It's for the people in the pews. Jesus understood that when He taught it. The disciples understood that when He taught it. We need now to move as we have never moved. As we have seen the church in America vote, now we need to move. If we don't, the complacency of this world is going to roll right back over on us. We are creatures of habit. Amen? We stood up, we made our demands, we did our duty, and now we're going to do what? Go home. And then do what? Well, I don't know. I put those people in office, they're going to do the rest of it. Really? Do you think so? How'd that work for you the first time around? When are we going to realize that Jesus is talking to me? Me. Who's Jesus talking to?
Me.
Are we going to move? Are we going to be the church of Jesus Christ? Are we going to be the church triumphant? Are we going to be the church victorious? Are we going to be the church of Jude, where he says that we are to rattle the doors of hell? Read the book of Jude. I love the book of Jude. That's Pastor Rich's paraphrase, by the way. But it says we are to snatch them from the flames. Snatch them right from the flames. Here they are, burning in hell. And we're reaching, remember, we have fire retardant suits, okay? We can't burn. reach right into those flames. For heaven's sake, stand in them. You can't get hurt. Just don't stay there. And then bring them out. Because remember, if you stay there, the longer you stay there, the more you can be tempted. Amen? But we need to go right into the enemy's camp and bring them out. Good intentions don't mean anything. What are your actions going to do? Where are you going to go? Where will you be found? I was found at the polls. After the polls, I was found on my face. I wasn't done after I voted. I'm not done yet. And until I am received into glory, and until you are received into glory, we are not done. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let us be the church of Jesus Christ, the church victorious, the church triumphant. Because when we are as we are, we will see the promise of God given to us. Last scripture, and then I'm done. I'm just going to read it to you, and then I'm going to dismiss. Matthew 24. Because remember, it's all about God's Word. If it's about Pastor Rich up here spouting his idiocies, then we got a problem. But if it is about the Word of God and what God has shown us and living that Word, being that Word in reality and in real time, you know, this is funny, I did not know this, but the guys back here, they were counting the number of times I say reality. You know, this is the reality. And I say that all the time because I want you to understand there is a reality. And it's not this world. It is Jesus Christ and His Word and His reality. And I love that word. And I'm never going to stop saying it because we need to understand there is a reality that we all have to come into. And that is Jesus Christ. And here's the reality from Matthew 24, beginning in 4. Let me flip one more page. I thought I had it. 24, beginning in 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another." This is the warning I gave you, but listen to the promise. "Because lawlessness is increasing, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When you and I persevere to the end, and for some of us it's going to mean a persecution that ends our lives. Some of us it's going to mean jail time. If you don't think that's not coming, you have a second thought. What was one of Hillary's last comments when she gave her concession speech? "We're not done. We're not done. They think this is over. We're going to take the fight right to them." And just earlier she said, "We need to unify this nation." Wow. Talk about a two-faced, forked tongue. All she was missing was the tail. You and I need to remember, these things are going to come, but they cannot take glory away from us. Amen. Amen. They cannot take the salvation of Jesus Christ out of my heart. Amen. Amen. And they cannot and never will enter eternity in the rest of Jesus Christ. But oh, glory be, what a day it'll be when we stand in Christ Jesus and all the sufferings of this world. He says, "You will have light and momentary troubles." Well, I don't know about you, but I think about going to jail or losing my life as being something a little bit heavier than light and momentary, but in the scope of eternity, I guess it is. So I will say amen to God and to His Word, and I will stand upon His principles. My question is, How many of you will stand with me? How many of you will stand up and be counted this day?
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.